What, you know, back to the book, I talked about your favorite stories in there, but how about some of the ones that just really made you go, what the hell? You know, or maybe even disturbed you a lot. And did that any of that spill over into your personal life?
Well, that's a good one. I'd say things like the Bilowak Monster, which was a creature that was reported up in the hills above Ventura, was one that I
Near Santa.
Got in my subconscious a bit. It was
Santa Paula.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, something like that up there. Yeah, up there in the Sierra Madre above Ventura. That was like a mutant bipedal something that looked like a ram or an ape or a goat or something bizarre, and apparently was coming down from the hills and scaring people at night. And it was connected with the an experimental dairy farm that was up there that had been abandoned. And that was one that I thought was pretty strange. The Wetzel Monster in Riverside was very similar, which was this really creepy, almost like a 9-foot-tall walking stick kind of a monster, like an insectoid thing that attacked this guy's car one night and apparently left some pretty good marks on it. He reported to the cops, and the next night somebody else got attacked by this thing. And he's I don't know if he's still alive, but he was interviewed several times over the next 20 or 30 years and always told the same story and described this bizarre thing that came at him out of a dry wash in the city of Riverside.
Yeah, there's a big bridge right there right now, so you don't actually have to go through the riverbed. I think he described it as it was like a kind of like a stick figure with a jack-o'-lantern head.
Yeah, like a scarecrow or jack-o'-lantern head. And there's that funny, you think about it, coming from under the bridge, there's that association in mythology, Norse mythology, with trolls who lived under bridges and waited for passersby to come over them.
But there wasn't any bridge there at the time, was there? It's a pretty wide river there.
Yeah, I believe it's seasonal. It really is only flowing in winter and spring.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they've culverted off much of it or what, but I haven't been down there in the last few years. But
I was there last year. It's still a big wide riverbed, and they haven't really built the banks up. In some areas where there's highways going over it, they put big boulders up to keep the place from keep it from overflowing and washing roads away, etc. But a lot of it is still kind of just, when you get outside of town, it's just a big wild wide river bottom.
Yeah. While we're in that area, I can mention another one that kind of gave me the creeps, and that was the Devil's Gate Reservoir disappearances.
Those were
now,
creepy.
When I wrote Mysterious California, I wrote that there had been four different disappearances of children in this canyon at Devil's Gate Reservoir up in the San Gabriels.
It's right above
two of those
Rose Bowl.
Were solved. They were a serial killer got them and later confessed to them, but the other two are just completely unsolved. I mean, kids literally disappearing into thin air, like 50 yards away from adults or from the other people that were around them. And
yeah, they turn a corner.
A tie-in between that and a lot of rumors about Jack Parsons, who was active in that area. Now, Jack Parsons was a very famous scientist, a rocket scientist, and one of the really premier ones, and one of the co-founders of JPL, but he was also a very dedicated occultist who was really the American representative for Aleister Crowley in the United States. And according to a lot of the lore in the area, that was one of his little stomping grounds to do both rocket experiments during the day and occult work at night. And there's been rumors that he left something up there, or that he opened a window of something got in and it's never quite left. And that I allude to a bit in Weird California, the connection between the occult activities in that area in the 40s, and then the disappearances, which started happening in the 50s and went through the 60s.
So they've kind of trailed off since then, or you just haven't really followed it?
I don't believe there have been. I think those were the big ones.
Uh-huh.
And if there have been more, I have not heard about it.
Yeah, because right within about a mile of there is where the first liquid rocket test was run.
And that's right.
There's mm-hmm. a...
That's his territory where he was doing all that stuff in the old days. Fascinating character. There's a couple of good biographies about him. One of which is called Sex and Rockets. The other one is called Strange mm-hmm. Angel.
Which one do you like better?
Strange Angel, I think, is better because it's less sensationalistic, and I think it's better detailed and gets into his. Rounding him out more as a person. Although Sex and Rockets is worth looking at, too.
Yeah, I put up a review of it on Amazon, partially because, and I said I liked it better, partially because I know the guy that wrote it and I helped him with the research a little bit.
Hmm.
We actually went to the JPL archives and talked to the guy there that, some old guy that runs the archives, which is not on the JPL grounds, it's in Pasadena. And he was so tickled that somebody was even cared to talk about Jack Parsons and the history of JPL, that he showed us all kinds of old film and video and stuff like stuff that had been transferred to video. And I got to see video of Jack Parsons standing around while they were testing jet-assisted takeoff rockets. Just kind of standing on the tarmac, joking around, talking to people, adjusting things and all that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting character. And then, of course, his career is not only tied in with Aleister Crowley's, but certainly largely in some ways gave birth to L. Ron Hubbard's, because
right.
Hubbard was part of that crowd for a while.
The science fiction writers that used to meet up at his place on weekend nights, I think, and have soirees and parties and rituals, etc. And when he got heavily into the rituals, and of course Scientology denies this absolutely, mm-hmm. but he was kind of the scribe or scryer or whatever that worked with Parsons doing these rituals, some involving sex mm-hmm. magic and etc. And have you heard anything about them going out to the Mojave Desert to do some, him and Hubbard going out to Mojave Desert to do some sort of ritual involving opening up a time doorway or bringing up the moon child or whatever it was called?
I've heard that story. I've never seen it really documented at all. I mean, the thing that I that was better documented was their attempt to create a moon child with
Marjorie Cameron
Parsons and his then girlfriend or wife, while Hubbard was in attendance, and Parsons and his woman were doing a great rite, while the Hubbard was doing chanting and also transcribing what was going on.
Right.
That's fairly documented. They were trying to do that, and word of that got back to Crowley in England, and he just said, these people are nuts. They don't know what they're doing.